Hey, Casey.
Hey, Jacob.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
What do an aspiring music producer who reluctantly joins an a cappella group and a good-hearted getaway driver who starts to reject his criminal life have in common?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out, shall we? Because this week I watched Pitch Perfect.
And this week I watched Baby Driver.
And now it's time to make
the movie connection.
And here we go, beginning yet again for another thrilling episode. Hi there, everybody. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to, you know, broaden our individual movie horizons and to just remain connected in general, we decided to connect over something we both enjoy.
Movies.
Movies. And so each week we assign each other movies to watch, usually that we haven't seen before. And then we sit down and watch them, and then we review them and discuss them, and we try to figure out, hey, is there any connective tissue between these two movies?
Anything at all.
Anything. I mean, you could go for the obvious and go for actors, but I mean, you know, we try to be more creative than that.
Like, mm-hmm.
But, you know, we get creative with the connections sometimes. Sometimes really creative.
Sometimes real basic, too.
Yeah. But either way, we are going strong. Like, we haven't broken the show yet. We have yet to fail in our endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on.
And sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, for real. But this week, I think we can do it. I think we can make it happen.
Yeah, there's some real basic ones that I connected right off the bat.
Awesome.
You know?
But on the surface, pretty different movies. I mean,
very different.
Yeah, very different.
really different pitches, if you will.
Yeah. Hey. Oh my god.
You're
hey,
welcome.
You leave the puns to me, all right? I'll cut it out.
You know what? That's my least favorite part
dude,
of that.
Like, yeah, good.
I seriously love like when people make puns and do silly things, but I was like, oh fuck this, man.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
I
too much.
I freaking blocked it out, man.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot that even happened.
Yeah, far, far too much, I'd say.
Yeah, one time or two times, you're like, oh, kind of clever, I guess. Yeah. More than that, it's too much.
Fortunately, they don't do as much with pitch. Like, they pretty much use the one joke, you know? It's substitute for pitch. Like, or bitch, you know, like,
right,
let's go pitches, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm pretty sure I hear that every time a new one of these comes out.
So, yes, oh, totally.
Where my pitch is at, you know.
Where my pitch is at.
Oh, gotcha. I will take those over the cut it out or what.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah,
like, no,
it's like, really,
stop.
Like, we can use it for anything now. Okay,
literally.
Go fuck yourself.
For real though,
you know, one of them wanted to say that, and they probably frequently did off camera.
Probably Anna Kendrick, right?
Yeah, for sure. Oh my god, do the cup song. I could go fuck yourself. Like, fuck that song. I think she has said that. Like, I think she said.
Yeah.
Which I get it. But at the same time, you know, be graceful. Like, Idina Menzel, who must hate that song.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure.
Damn it, she sings it like a champ every time.
Kills it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting because Anna Kendrick actually, like, that was her audition song.
Yeah.
And then they liked it so much that they put it into the movie.
Oh, I see. Which, you know, that's awesome, though, that it was her audition song. And I did find out, like, it's got pretty historical, significance, which is fun.
It for sure does, yeah.
Yeah, very American.
Adam Devine Devine. He didn't know that he had to sing a song for his audition, and so he sang the opener to Full House.
I really want, like, I hope that's posted somewhere, because I really want to hear what that sounds like.
Me too. I'm like, I can picture it in my head, and I really enjoy it. Like,
and no wonder he won it, because that's so genuine. He's just like, oh, you just want me to sing a song? Sure, okay, fucking, yeah, okay. I can just see it, where it's just like, interesting choice for an audition song, this guy. Like, like, I don't think he knew. Like, I don't. Because, yeah, no. But if he did, yeah, ballsy. Like,
so funny.
That's like going in, like, you know what? I'm gonna fucking kill the McDonald's theme song from the McDonald's winter theme. Like, because sometimes they do come up with songs for, like, the wintertime and shit.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
All right. What do you say we get into this? Starting with Pitch Perfect. It's my turn to start. Holy shit.
Fuck.
I have the, what did she say? I have the pitch, is it a pitch whistle?
Pitch whistle.
Is that what it's called? I have the pitch whistle. During a very intense competition amongst various college-age a cappella groups, one of the leading members of a highly regarded group, the Bellas, ends up throwing up all over the stage. Following the embarrassing ordeal, the Bellas are desperate to assemble a top-notch group of ladies to take down the highly regarded and highly obnoxious all-male group, the Troublemakers. You know, honestly, I could maybe even do without the puns in the fucking names too, but I bet
I like his name so, that boy name so much.
I like the Troublemakers, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
The Bellas, I'm like,
The Troublemakers. So the Bellas co-captains, Chloe, played by Brittany Snow, and Aubrey, played by Anna Camp, are particularly interested in recruiting new student Becca, played by Anna Kendrick, who might have an abrasive exterior, but she has a talent for music arrangement and has a pretty great voice to boot. Becca could care less about competing with an a cappella group until her dad proposes a deal where if she can't stand the college experience with the Bellas, she can pursue a DJ and music producing career. But until then, Becca makes the most of things.
Mm-hmm.
The Bellas start out as a promising group, but are held back by Aubrey's allegiance to tradition and classic songs. Becca starts to shake things up and really gets the group to open up and try something bold. But will it be enough?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be enough? No.
Yikes.
This is music. Okay. Right, I'm not gonna spoil it. Okay. So yeah, that's Pitch Perfect for ya. I did leave out the romance storyline, but hey, there's a romance storyline. What do you want?
Yeah, it's sort of the B plot anyways.
Yeah, exactly. just kind of there.
Yeah, totally.
Cute enough. I really like him. Like, he was interesting. It's like, oh, this is a different kind of male character, you know?
Yeah, I like him too. And he actually, like, went on to be in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is a show I really like. He was also in Glee, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he, so all of these guys are actually musically talented.
Yeah. That's true.
Nice.
Kind of fun.
Because Anna Kendrick, yeah, she's done a musical or two. Like, she did that,
Into the Woods.
Yeah, Into the Woods, yep.
Yeah.
She does have a pretty good voice, I will
say. I like her voice a lot.
Yeah. Adam Devine, you know, he's got a voice. Like, it's always done for comedic purposes, but he actually does have a genuinely good voice, though.
He does. Yeah. One of my favorite bits about, like, him in these movies are him and Rebel Wilson. Anytime they had to act together, it was, like, all improvised, basically. And they end up, like, creating this backstory for their characters that wasn't even, like, involved in the original script. and really goes into the second film.
Oh, really?
Nice. Which the second one is the most highly regarded.
Okay. Okay. So maybe put that on the list.
Sure. Why not?
Because I would like to see a better version of this. Like, I mean, no,
that's fair.
Like that is the case with a lot of these movies, though, because, right, you're working, because the first movie's all about getting the group together, right? So they're not together yet. So second movie, it's like, oh, shit, we're working together. And then you just progressively just raise the bar more and more. So
Totally. You
know, like, Avengers is great. And everybody hates Ultron now, but I'm just saying, like, Age of Ultron at the time, though, that was really good because like, oh, the Avengers, they've established they're badasses now. Now we get to just watch them be badasses together.
Yes, totally.
Now, are the Bellas on par with the Avengers? Perhaps not.
No.
Are they the Avengers of a cappella groups? That'd be pushing it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They are quite talented, though. But
they are, yeah.
I do like that this gives a cappella groups the spotlight, because this has become a thing. Kind of like Anna Kendrick's character even says, it's like, oh yeah, this is like a thing now. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a cappella, it's interesting because, like, when I think about it, or at least before this movie, I would always think about, like, church choirs, right?
Yep.
Even though there are a lot of a cappella groups, like in college, like there's famous ones like at Yale and Harvard and stuff. Not really like something that you hear a lot about, though.
No.
Pitch Perfect did bring those kind of into the spotlight, which was nice.
And now we've got like same music groups that like there it is. Yeah.
Pentatonix. Is that their name? Yeah.
Yes. Which they did do an awesome, I think I heard them do an awesome version of Gonna Cut Me Out. What is that? Yeah, that song.
I like that song. I like their Christmas music like a lot, actually.
Nice. Yeah.
There's something magical about them like making the Christmas sounds with their mouths.
Oh wait, no, Pentatonix, they teamed up with Lindsey Stirling. That's what it
was. Yeah, they did.
That was the shit. Yeah.
That is the shit.
That was really good. I have to look that up now, because yeah, that was really good. So Pentatonix, yeah, they're super talented.
I agree.
But it's kind of them and like nobody else, right? Like
right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I can't think of another group off the top of my head. Yeah. And maybe if I was like listening to a station on Pandora or Spotify, they could recommend other ones, but right. I don't really, they're not in the spotlight in the same way.
Right. And it's like they're already at a disadvantage, because part of the thing for a cappella groups is you're only doing covers, right? You're
right,
so you know you're kind of limited there, where it's like
totally
you know, it's just kind of one step removed from cover band. No offense.
right
I would want to watch them probably before a cover band, probably.
Same. It's, yeah, impressive. I'd agree with that,
you know.
Shall we get to some Q&A?
Let's do it.
All right,
let's do it.
Who do you think had the best singing voice?
Oh shit. Oh.
We're hopping into it, man. Here we go.
Oh, man, I was not prepared. No, I think it probably is Rebel Wilson, because she's pretty fucking good.
She's so good, yeah. Man. She's so good.
And she also, you know, varies it up a little bit. Both of the, you know, Brittany Snow and Anna
Kendrick?
No, other Anna. Oh, there's two Annas. Wow. Anna Camp.
Anna Camp.
She plays Aubrey.
Which is the one that throws up.
Yes. A lot.
Yes.
That was so weird when she, like, did it, like, as, like, a...
fuck you?
Yeah, as, like, a fuck you. Oh, you know what? Fucking... yeah. Fucking throw up on the floor. Not even on them, too. It was just...
I was going to ask what you thought about that scene.
Very weird.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. It's, and like, that girl really? That like makes the snow angel and the vomit. That was so disgusting. It was too far, man.
Yeah, not a fan. No, but I think Rebel Wilson is probably the best voice for sure.
Yeah, she's got a gorgeous voice.
Even Anna Kendrick, like all of the other ones, frankly, like, yeah, kind of basic, you know? It's like, yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. It is pleasant to my ears. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Did you have a favorite song that was performed by any of the a cappella groups?
Oh, yeah. And I think, like, see, this is what I mean. Honestly, I think my favorite number wasn't even a Bella's song. It was the Troublemakers. I've been singing it. Like, yeah, Right Round. That was the shit. They did a really good job.
That was so good, right?
Like, I listened to that version and then tried listening to Flo Rida just because I was like, oh, all right, let's get the production value in. No, I went back to the a cappella version because I was like, no, this is really good.
It's really good, yeah.
They did a really good job. I like that whole production value. The darker skinned guy with the glasses, and fuck, he's got such swag. I really like that guy.
He really does. Yeah. I know. He's a really fun character.
It's like teetering on the edge of like douchey, but I'm like, no, I think you're on the good side. Like,
right, just barely. Which is kind of how all of these guys are a little bit.
Right, right. Which, you know, like, I didn't realize, like, so they used to call these barbershop quartets, which I have mm-hmm. heard of that.
Yes.
But, you know, it does have a history of, like, sexism and
totally.
A little bit of racism. Just, it's so embedded in, like, elitism that it kind of has all of that going for it.
Sure.
But I like what we're doing now, where it's, like, it's not just, it doesn't have to just be a quartet. We've opened it up to, like, bigger groups.
Yeah, totally.
But of the Bellas, I did like their, it was a mashup though, because they do like mashups eventually, and it was the first one they did where it's like, just the way you are.
Oh yeah, the Bruno Mars. Oh, so yeah. Good.
Like that. Oh, that's why. Well, there we go. That's why.
That's why. Yeah, it's interesting because the Bellas, it's hard to pick a favorite song that they do because they mostly do the same songs over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh really? Yeah.
Well, and remember, like, because she just wants to perfect that song that they messed up.
Oh, yes, I see, yes. And yeah, so, like, this one, at least. Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. again, why I want to see Pitch Perfect, too, because, like, oh, we have to get
things
more songs.
Change up, totally.
Yeah. I saw the sign. It's like, enough.
Yeah, I know. I agreed with the commentary people on that.
Which couldn't get better commentators, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and she is in all of them and produced them.
He isn't though? They need both of them.
Like, I don't know if he is. I can't remember.
Okay.
He might be.
Yeah, they're a great team. Fuck.
They are.
They play off each other so well. She's great no matter what. Elizabeth Banks will kill it no matter
what.
So
good.
She could have done the commentating by herself and been just as funny. All right, Elizabeth, let's see Cocaine Bear. Let's see it.
I'm not in. I'm sorry.
I gotta know. You know, you have to be in to see.
I mean, I'll watch it.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, I'm not on board, you know? Like, she really will have to win me over, man.
I'm so curious. Like, I have been following this since its, like, since its announcement, since its Twitter announcement.
Where is that now in production?
They're filming. I think they're done. Like, it's coming. It's coming.
Yikes.
Yeah.
In theater?
Yes. Yes. It's Elizabeth Banks.
I know, but come on.
Yeah, I know. Which you... could that's give her the benefit of the doubt.
I love her.
Even though I heard the new Charlie's Angels wasn't well reviewed, but I haven't seen it, so it looked cool to me. You know.
Yeah.
I was
agree.
Excited. Like, it looked fun to me, but yeah.
Rebel Wilson really loves Fat Amy. Like, she's one of the favorite characters that she's ever played. What did you think of her character and what did you think of the name Fat Amy?
Yeah. No, the character's great, and you can see that Rebel loves it, you know. I think she just, it was the character that really took her off, right? Wasn't it her first, like, big movie, I want to say?
I feel like that could be accurate, yeah.
Definitely, like, yeah, one of the... stand out once, and so it kind of gave her that freedom. Like, I think you're always gonna have a love for that character because it just became, like, you know, yeah, the one that we just identify Rebel Wilson with that character. So
yes.
But yeah, as far as like the fact that she took ownership of it, like you have to respect, you know, it's gonna trigger other people though. So, you know,
right.
But,
I know when she talks about like her reasoning for being called Fat Amy, like it's kind of sad when you come down to it. She's like, so skinny bitches like you can't call it to me behind my back.
Right.
I'm like, that's kind of heartbreaking.
Right.
You know?
So I like the sentiment, but yeah, I don't, yeah. Oh, but there were occasions where, yeah, sometimes we're a little, culturally insensitive at times. But I get like, that's kind of like, that's always in comedy. Like that's, you know,
it is
because you have to shock, like, you know, some of it was funny though, but you know, then it's overused sometimes too, but
yeah. And this came out in 2012.
Right. And that was kind of the, yeah.
Kind of we were like on the brink of changing things up. Exactly. Like we were a couple years away from things really changing,
but it was still the peak of like, it was shock value. Like comedy, like we did like that stuff. It's like, oh shit, they said it. Like it's like, oh damn.
A lot of people like really knew Anna Kendrick from this movie as well.
Yeah,
even though she was in a lot of other things before Pitch Perfect, notably Twilight.
Yeah, which is weird because she's not even a big part in those, but she like
she plays a character that's in all of the books though, and like, you know, there people know who Jessica Stanley is in the books. And so even though she has very small parts in the movies, like
she was one she's like one of my favorite parts of that, those movies though, is because, yeah, I was like, oh, I do like that actress. Like that did, I was hoping that, that Anna Kendrick would go somewhere and like, lo and behold, she did. It's like,
she sure did.
Yeah.
Speaking of Anna Kendrick, did you find Becca to be a sympathetic and likable character?
Not really. See, that's the problem with this movie. It hinges on the supposed charms of our Becca, this character. And I don't think it's Anna Kendrick's fault fully.
Right.
It partially, I don't know if anybody could have helped this character along, make it more sympathetic or not. But Anna Kendrick wasn't doing it any favors, though.
Right, because she played her to be kind of edgy, and which I respect, but also like a sort of like I don't give a shit attitude, which doesn't really mesh with like likability.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't even get like the best reason for her to be standoffish in the way that she is.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that it was in part her, but it was like probably majority of it was writing. They didn't really flesh her out very well.
Yeah. And then they do scenes like with the Breakfast Club. It's like, oh no, why did they do this? Like we're supposed to be getting emotional depth and it's not clicking.
It doesn't I'm land, like, right?
I see a tear, but I know it's not real.
Feel it. Like, I don't feel it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like poor girl. Like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But overall, like, I think Anna Kendrick has potential. I think she's a good actress, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
No, I love her. But yeah, I think that the character that they created for her just wasn't quite perfect, you know?
I have to kind of agree with, I have to kind of agree with Oscar on this one. I've mentioned Oscar before. If you don't know, well, now you know. but no, Oscar's review, which was simple, but pretty, on point. Like, Anna Kendrick is not as charming as she thinks she is.
I love it.
Very catty, but, you know, and puts a little too much on her, but, you know, but again, like, I get the sentiment where it's just like, it is kind of that attitude, isn't it? Where it's like,
Yeah, she does have some edgy attitude to her.
Yeah.
Did you think that she had good chemistry with our leading man that I can't remember his name?
Yeah, pretty good. But again, like even that left me wanting, like I could do with the romantic relationship thing wasn't doing it any favors either. It was different though. I will say that like he felt different. Like it wasn't your typical like
Jesse
romance. Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I kind of wanted her to end up with the DJ guy. He was something, which I would like to see that guy in more.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, he's great.
Awesome. Well, I think it's time for our favorite questions.
Favorites.
What was your favorite performance?
Favorite performance is gonna go to Brittany Snow, actually.
Fuck yeah, she's great.
Is she in all of them? Because yeah, she's great. And so she plays, I mentioned her name earlier in the synopsis. Chloe? Yeah, so she plays Chloe, and yeah, I just really liked her. She has a good sense of humor about her. Like, she's a good comedic actress, but at the same time, I got that poise elegance as well, and she's got a voice, great voice on top of it. So she was great, and then honorable would be Rebel Wilson, of course.
Yeah, she's so good.
Of course.
Yeah, I read that the shower scene between Brittany Spineau and Anna Kendrick like took a while to film, and they were both actually naked, and they
Yeah.
were like,
Which only makes it better because that's my favorite scene. Like it,
it is perfect timing.
which I
Let's go
kind of
into
had to. I always dance around scenes like this because it's like, oh, of course you like that because you're a guy. It's like, true,
it.
but at the
Sure. A
same time,
human, like, hello.
there isn't any nudity here though. Like, you know,
No.
like this is PG-13, yo. So I don't like it for only those reasons. But oh, and also just a great see, and that's another reason why I like it though, is because it's a primo example of yeah, tasteful like no nudity and like well edited and you still get the point across. It's not over sexualized. Like see, like you know,
Totally.
like it can be tastefully done and stuff. I really liked that. It's just like oh, I don't need to see anything. It's not distracting for me to not see everything. You know.
Totally, totally. Yeah, that
So.
scene is really fun.
So yeah, but I really like that scene for that reason and like yeah, multiple levels. It's like the vulnerability, yeah, the humor in it, and yeah, it's great stuff.
The acoustics and the shower,
Yeah.
beautiful. Awesome. Favorite quote.
Hard to find. hard to find because there's not a lot of profound stuff going on here.
True.
But I did like, you know, a little quip from old Rebel Wilson. You're gonna get pitch slapped so hard, your man boobs will concave.
Oh my God.
And that's the best use of like, yeah, pitch slap. Like, there you go. Like, yeah.
Yep, totally. I love it.
Yeah.
Would you rewatch and recommend?
Probably not. Like, see, but I'm not against like getting to Pitch Perfect 2 because I feel like that'll have like maybe a little more rewatchability. Because this one, it does just feel it feels like the first movie, the getting
It's
the
sort of a setup movie.
yeah getting the band together and yeah that they stuck with that song of theirs for far too long. Like I feel like most movies like this even would move on, like we'd be dancing
Yes.
differently sooner or whatever, like
Yes, for
you know
sure.
stuff like that. And then can't really recommend it for that reason either, though. But you
Sure.
know, but I don't think I have to. Like, if it's something you're interested in, you'll find this.
You'll find it for sure.
Right. So
And
knowing that,
then what would you rate it out of 5 stars?
out of five, I'll give it a two. Like,
Okay.
decent enough, but definitely it didn't hold my attention. You
Room for
know,
improvement, for
and we've talked about some
sure.
of the stuff. Yeah, some of the other stuff. So. It's a two, though.
That's fair. Would you reboot it?
okay, so reboot this, but as a stage play, and you might
Ooh,
have
fun.
something like it. Like high schools could easily do this. You know, something like
With the
that.
Glee Club and the Drama Club combining, that could be
Yeah,
fun.
right? See, so like, yeah, I this has stage play potential, but reboot as a movie, I don't think we need it or anything like that. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's pitch perfect, folks.
Movie number one down.
Again.
And now, the next movie.
Baby Driver.
Babby. Baby.
Driver.
Driver. Driver.
Good job. Gold star.
All right. Tell me a little something about Baby Driver.
Baby loves music. He has a hearing issue because of an accident that he was in when he was young. an accident that killed his parents. He is a very impressive getaway driver and was hired by a man named Doc after stealing his vehicle.
Yep.
Instead of killing him, Doc has him work off his debt by driving robbers away.
Yeah.
Baby finishes his last job and gets himself a lovely girlfriend in Deborah. But Doc doesn't let him go so easily. He coerces him into another job full of a violent crew who can't keep their plans in place.
Yeah.
Baby just wants to keep his loved ones safe. But shit is getting real.
Yeah, shit gets real, real fast. Was he slow?
Yeah.
Was he slow? Was he slow? Okay. Yeah, Baby Driver. So this is a movie, like, I am interested to hear, yeah, just overall reactions. Did you hear about this? Did you see a trailer before getting into it, anything like that?
I saw it at the movie theater.
Oh, you have seen it?
Josh actually thinks that we saw it with you.
Oh, shit.
Because, I don't remember, though. But I've only watched it the one time, so it was really fun. It was back in 2017, so it was really fun to, like,
shit, I didn't know you had it. Seen this one. Okay.
Well, I wasn't sure when you assigned it to me, but then when I put it on, I was like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
But it was super fun to revisit it. Right. I really enjoyed it. Such a different concept for a movie, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, what a cool way to, like, take an action film, add some, like, kick-ass soundtrack to it, and really make something different.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, different is correct. That was kind of why it's hard to come up with questions for this, because it's really a movie you kind of have to experience.
So true.
Because, I mean, what I will say for it is it's very stylish, with a capital S.
Yes.
So, yeah, talk about that. No.
It's got a very different tone, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't want to give away my movie matches, but, yeah, like, I could think of one other film that I thought really, like, felt the same tone. And then I have another movie that was, like, on a similar tone.
Yeah.
But it's really unique in the way that it expresses itself. It is stylish.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of pop culture things happening, not just with the music, but even when he's walking down the street in the first scene,
yeah,
he looks kind of like Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
With the vest that he's wearing. And, uh-huh, I'm like, oh, I sort of feel, and he talks kind of like Elvis.
Yes.
Right? right? And so we have some, like, weird pop culture things that are kind of there.
Right.
That exist, but they don't really acknowledge them, which I kind of enjoy.
Yes, love it.
Yep.
It's one of those movies that it's very directed, where it's just like, okay, like, that's what you have to arrive at, where it's just like, this is such a unique vision, and it's got to come from, like, yeah. Well, I don't want to say it comes from one guy, but definitely one guy knows how to orchestrate correctly. So it's still very much his team that makes it what we see and type and stuff like that. But it definitely is a visionary vision from this guy. Edgar Wright is the director. And one of my first question is kind of, you know, this movie's directed by Edgar Wright, who is known for his collaborations with Simon Pegg, like on Shaun of the Dead, which you haven't seen.
Haven't seen it.
Have you seen Hot Fuzz, though?
I haven't seen Hot Fuzz. Maybe I have, because I'm looking at the poster right now.
Or The End of the World, which I think is a pub crawl movie.
I have seen The End of the World.
Okay, there we go. You weren't blown away by that one, I remember, but...
Right, that's true.
But did you notice any similarities? Like, does that surprise you to know that that director directed this?
No, I think he's got, like, a voice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I see here that he also did Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't bring that up because, yeah, that clearly, like, that checks out. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think he has, like, a vision that he incorporates into each movie where it stands out. But not in the same way that some other directors do, where they have the same tics that they use over and over again, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, the closest you get is he does like to work with Simon Pegg, I guess, and they did those British movies. And some think there's like a difference between those British movies and then his American stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm getting a feel for it. They are different tones, it feels like, because he is making a comment about American culture.
Sure.
In his American movies in a lot of ways, but I think it's still right. Like, you know.
Absolutely.
So this movie makes heavy use of music.
Obviously.
I didn't realize that even Baby Driver, that's a song. I didn't know that.
I did not remember that.
So this was very educational for music for me.
Yeah, because there's not just one variety of music either. There's like so many different genres of music, which I think is really fun.
Very eclectic and all like, I mean, all the way back to the 50s to now. Mm-hmm. To, yeah. So what would be your killer track? You know, the one that gets you pumped, the one that gets you, everybody, people do have their, like, they call it killer tracks here, but, you know, you got your song that, your workout song, even.
Sure. One of my pump-up songs is Confident by Demi Lovato. That's, like, one that I always put on when I'm going to work out.
Nice. Okay.
I'm trying to think. Probably my other pump up song would be, hold on. I'm like trying to.
For some reason, No Rest for the Wicked gets me going.
Totally.
It's got a nice build to it, and I actually know all the words, so that helped.
Like, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar. That's like another one that fucking pumps me up.
Yeah.
So Confident by Demi Lovato, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar.
Fuck yeah.
And then to like even it out a little bit, Revolution by the Beatles.
Ah, yes, that's right. Yes.
So like those songs all like get my blood boiling and make me like want to fucking fight.
Yes, yes. Ooh. Okay, yeah, great fight song. Yeah, mine would have to be something from Rage Against the Machine probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. And yeah. Ooh, also that song, nah, anyway, I lost. Okay.
I know, it's hard to think of them when you're on the spot, for sure.
Now, do you have a hex song, a song that puts you in a bad mood or something that you associate with a bad time, so anytime it comes up, you're like, you know, some people associate songs with exes because, like, some couples have, oh, this is our song, which you don't think about when you guys break up, what that's going to be like. It's gonna be
then you're going to want to skip that song forever.
It's going to be really awkward.
It's weird, but like my song that bums me out is Video Game by Lana Del Rey.
Oh. I don't know if I know that one.
I just like had a bad day. I don't even really remember like what was going on that day, but like I kept hearing that fucking song.
Ah, okay.
Now anytime I hear it, I'm like, skip this song, man. It bums me out.
Nice.
Okay. And it's not even associated with like trauma or anything. It's just like a song that I just don't want to listen to. And I like her music, so it's nothing against her.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Good, good. Yeah. Did you have a favorite getaway? There's some really cool, I mean, it's fueled by getaway scenes, or is this too closely associated with a favorite scene? Because we can skip it.
I had sort of two favorite scenes, but the first getaway scene was one of them, so I can talk about that. I loved the first one because you really like start to understand him. He like turns the wipers on. He has the song playing at a certain tempo, and he's like listening to the tempo as his way to get away, right?
Yeah, right.
We sort of understand him a little bit more as a character with that first getaway scene, and I really liked it a lot.
And it's so well done. It established everything perfectly. It's like, yeah, this is the movie you're going to be watching. Like, yeah.
Totally.
Shamelessly, like, shows who it is. Like, and this is one of the, so this is definitely, this is something I'd consider a Jacob movie, like to the bone, because it's just like, it's got all of my favorite things, and because it's so eclectic and quirky and weird, but at the same time, but it's also so precise and like,
it's so precise
because everything, like they are choreographing to sound like music here, and it's like everything, like, so it's very impressive.
Yeah, it's so good.
To the point where I'm just like, I love directors like this, but I can't imagine being one like that, because I'm like, it feels so claustrophobic. Like, how can you, Because I feel like it would drive me nuts if we were off by something. So how do you get to that, you know? So
right. And also to like work for a director like that would probably be really hard too, because everything is so timed out and choreographed, like you said. So it's like every single moment has to hit the beat just right, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So super impressive.
No improv in this movie.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and yeah, that first getaway is probably one of my favorites too. That's so funny because like there are some really impressive ones later, but it establishes it so clearly. And it makes me want to listen to that song. Bell Bottoms.
Yep, and I won't lie, I love that he's in a Subaru. I have a Subaru. So I'm like, yeah, Subaru, woo!
Oh, but like I was saying, this is a Jacob movie. Like, this is one where I know a movie's got me where it's like I feel a smile melt across my face, where it's just a slow progression of, it's like something clicks where it's just like, oh, this movie gets me or something.
Yeah, totally.
And then I'm just smiling and I'm just like ear to ear. And this first scene like got me like that, where it's just like, I mean, when he uses the police spikes against them, come on.
Yes, totally.
It's like, get that shit out of here. So good. But okay, do you have a movie like that? So how do you know, like, when a movie gets you, do you know that feeling, like, or have you had a movie like that where it's just like, oh yeah, this is my movie, these are my people, this is my safe space?
Well, my safe space, my movie is Princess Bride.
Ah, yeah.
It's also a comfort film, though. So yeah. I feel.
Well, but you felt seen when you saw, like, that makes sense.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's quirky. It's weird. It's got a little bit of a fairy tale. There's action. There's love, which I love, and I always have, you know. So probably Princess Bride for me.
And the right kind of violence, though, for you, where it's like, it's not bloody, it's just stylish and, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, yes, for sure. Because I'm not super big on, like, ultra-violent things. I mean, I can handle it, but sure. I don't seek it out usually.
Yeah, nah. No, skip it.
Skip it.
All right, Elephant in the Room. This movie features Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm to those uninitiated, Kevin Spacey, we don't see him a lot anymore.
Right.
He kind of fucked up.
Right.
So here's the thing. Like, he did look it up. Like, I don't think we need to belabor the point.
We don't.
He got swept up in the, if you want to call it, you know, cancel culture, whatever. He got swept up in that. But it's like grounded in like solid reasoning. He just said a lot of the wrong thing. Like,
yes.
And well, I'm sorry, but did a lot of the wrong thing too. But I'm just saying, like, but what really like solidified it was, he didn't handle it well either. In addition to like doing a pretty bad thing. But anyway, so did this distract you in any way?
A little bit.
First,
just a little bit, and then I sort of was like, he's not in that much of it, and I can kind of like push him to the side.
Exactly. I think it helps that they have him and then he goes away, like, exactly. So not as distracting, but this does bring up, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but, you know, and I think we've talked about it before, you know, does cancel culture and all this stuff like kind of affect how we consume movies and like take in performances like that now, you know?
I think so, a bit, right?
Sure.
I feel like, so recently Josh and I watched Seinfeld, like the whole show. It was like quite an undertaking because it's not really a very good bingeable show. It's kind of like nothing happens.
Right.
And at first my favorite character was Kramer because he's like wild and wacky. But then I was like, why doesn't he ever do anything? And then I found out that he was like canceled back in the late 90s for being super racist.
Yes.
On a stage. And then afterwards, like watching Seinfeld after I found that out, it bummed me out a lot. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
So I think sometimes like it does affect when you're watching something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then other times like this, I could kind of push it aside because his character wasn't super front and center.
Yep.
But I think it just depends, you know?
Unfortunately, like, the closer, it doesn't help, like, the closer the character is to like, the whatever, like, you know, whatever got you canceled or something, that becomes really hard to watch, right? Like, when it's, like,
yes.
Because now there's this movie I fucking loved Kevin Spacey in, called K-Pax. And I'm interested to return to it. Like, we'll see. But I also know, like, some of the storyline hinges on stuff. Like, anyway, like,
some of the stuff that resonated with.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a bit harder of a watch and maybe, like, maybe shouldn't return to, because it is going to, you know, cause that effect. It really sucks. But see, I think some people would say that we need to stop doing this for that reason. It's like, see, like, we ruined this. Yeah, we ruined this guy's career. Like, why should he have to suffer for something he did long ago? Like, can't people learn? It's like, yes, all of this is true. But movies, like, exist in time. Like, they do exist in a context. Like, they do, like, right. Stay put. Like, you know, and, like, yeah, so.
Right. You know, and it's consequences, right?
Yeah, and yeah,
consequence
right.
Consequence culture, yeah.
Consequence culture, yeah. So it's so funny. It's one of those things where there's not a clean answer. It's something that you have to talk out. And it's,
totally.
And it's kind of handled case to case, because you never know what's going to trigger it. Like, you know, Picasso had some impressive paintings, but then I found out, yeah, Picasso was a monster, mm-hmm. apparently. And so now, you know, I will, any other artist, please, like, you know, let's,
right.
Yeah. Because, yeah, some of it makes it really tough.
Totally.
Now, at the same time, sometimes, like, again, like we've talked about with J.K. Rowling, you can yes. still appreciate the stories and the characters sometimes and kind of differentiate those.
I'm so glad that she wasn't, like, in the Harry Potter films, because it might be a different story.
Yeah.
But, sure. Like, I can enjoy those movies and I can enjoy her books without agreeing with who she is as a person.
Yeah. And again, it helps, though, that those Harry Potter books are it's pretty far removed from what makes her such a shitty person. Like, fortunately, yes. we don't have a lot of opportunities for her to show off that shittiness. She did come out with a book that it does.
Yeah,
she
I know.
Can show it off, though. So, yeah.
I know.
So don't get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I haven't read any of her other stuff, and I'm good.
Yeah. So this movie, we keep dropping this word, but it's fitting. You know, this movie is a very stylish in its depiction of the criminal life. Now, do you think, does it glorify crime or condemn it?
I think it condemns it. I think at first you could say it glorifies it a little bit because it's flashy and it's fun and they're getting away with it.
Yeah, right.
But Jamie Foxx's character is so despicable.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Don't you agree? Like, he's just... And even Doc, like, the Kevin Spacey character, like, you know, we see, like, oh, he's not a good guy.
Yeah, right. No, he is not.
But at
yes.
first, he seems like he is.
Yes.
Sort
not
of,
a good guy.
Right?
And then he does have a nice moment at the end. But even then, it's still one of those things where it's like, nah, he was still a bad guy. Like,
he was still a bad guy, yeah.
But he did have a great moment of humanity that was, yeah, that was needed. And, yeah. Very
sure.
appreciated, like, yeah.
For sure, for sure. So I don't think it really glorifies it. Plus, every time, like, someone's hurt or killed, baby, like, he looks just, like, devastated.
Yeah, right, right.
And, you know, and in those looks that we see from him, where they, like, hold on his face for an extra minute, you know, we're seeing the face of someone who's, like, super bummed to be where he's at.
Yeah, right. Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
See, it's just always interesting with movies like this where it's like, there's so much violence going on, but, like, it's so cool. But but I think what saves movies is, like, yeah, when you show the consequence. Like, you have to, and
yeah.
some movies do it more effectively than others and more, like, genuinely than others.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This one's really genuine, though, because at the heart of it, I think they're saying, it's like, no, he wants out. Like, you know, and,
yeah.
like, none of this is fun for him. It's interesting to compare this to something like, Goodfellas, which got constant reviews about, it's like, oh, it glorifies the criminal life and stuff. Which is so funny. I'm like, were you watching the movie? Like, yeah, we think that it looks cool because these are the characters we're amongst and all this stuff. Of course,
Totally.
a criminal is going to see this life as just the good shit, like just the good stuff.
Right.
But then that movie turns on you, and like the third act shows you, it's like, oh no, but look at, no, they, nobody's happy. Like, no,
Yeah.
this is a shitty life.
Right, totally.
And that's, I have to talk to myself. I have to talk to myself sometimes. No, I have to tell myself sometimes, like, because I really like these violent, like, movies and stuff, but it's only because, like, I know that, yeah, the consequence isn't there. Like, in real life, like, I hate it.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, it's escapism.
Yeah,
Like
escapism.
you're totally like escaping into something that makes you like your blood pumping and like gets you excited and you're like, what's gonna happen? You're on the edge of your seat.
Sure.
It's just your way of escaping. Of course
Yeah.
you don't like it in real
I
life.
don't condone it. Like, yeah, that's why I
No,
hate,
no,
like, movie violence, cool. Like, real life
no. Totally.
violence, not so much.
Right.
All right. So, favorite questions.
Favorites.
So, favorite performance.
That has to go, and I hope I'm saying his name right, to Ansel Elgort.
So good. Like, yeah, here's a guy.
Maybe.
Why isn't he doing more?
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
He's like a really compelling actor. I really liked him. They are talking about a sequel.
Weird.
I think so too.
Weird. This is an example. This is a case of, like, okay, clearly you all liked working together. Just do that. Just work together again.
Well, find
Do
something else.
something different. Like,
I totally agree.
yeah.
My honorary is sort of a tie between Lily James, who played Deborah, which she was
Really good.
fabulous,
I really liked her, yeah.
but also John Hamm
Fuck yeah.
playing Buddy, man. John Hamm like really showcased his fucking acting in this
Like,
movie.
yeah, this movie did get me thinking. It's like, wow, Jon Hamm can be a bad guy. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, and
Yeah.
like a bad guy.
And like in the back of my brain, I know it's him, but it's not obvious it's him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's just
The
with
5 o'clock
facial
shadow
hair
goes a
and the
long
hair.
way.
He's great.
He's so
He
good.
is so good.
Because, yeah, he ain't no, I don't know if you watched the show, but yeah, he's no, Don Draper from Mad Men in this. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good choices. Because Lily James is also really good, too. Yeah.
He's so good. Yeah. And she's just so like wholesome.
Yes.
But yeah, Jon Hamm is the opposite of that.
But
And
not
he
in an
is like,
annoying
he
way.
shows himself like he is like a badass.
Yes.
And he's sketchy. Like, oh, so good.
Yeah, super good. Yeah, and that's Cinderella,
Yep, I did.
yeah. I like her cute little. She got a little bit of a something in between her teeth, just enough. It's endearing.
Just
Like it's
enough,
just,
yep.
she's j got just this little slit there. It's so
They
good.
really made her seem like an old-fashioned kind of character.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I mean, part of it is the diner and the diner outfit and stuff, but like they were really channeling like his mom's energy.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Yeah, she was great.
She was really good.
Favorite scene.
My ultimate favorite scene is just when Baby decides to let loose. He thinks he's free. He throws his gloves. He leaves the phone. Like, just like so sweet and so
Isn't it easy?
lovely.
Isn't it too easy, like Sunday morning, I think? Yeah.
Easy like Sunday morning. Yes. And so the whole thing is just like, you know that it's not that simple. Like, I'm
Yeah.
like, dude, we're only 20 minutes in. Like, I'm sorry. You're about to get sucked back in. But it's just so sweet for a minute for him to think, that it was going to be that easy.
I love his relationship with the old guy, with the old
So
guy in the wheelchair.
beautiful.
Yeah, that was good shit. And that actor, fucking, he's gotta be so happy and like, fuck yeah, man, because, yeah, what a part for that guy.
Yeah, he did great. I love their relationship too. Probably close second is when he like leaves him at the nursing home, which was so sweet. Like,
Yes.
yep.
So good. Favorite quotation.
It's so baby says, "You and I are a team, Doc." And then Doc says, "Don't feed me any more lines from Monsters, Inc. It pisses me off."
One of Sam's favorites.
So funny.
So
I love
indignant.
it.
It's like, you son of a bitch.
I
Thought
know.
we were friends. That kid was great too.
That kid was awesome. He's like, baby's trying to count all the shit, and the kid's like, here's what
Four
you need to know.
cameras, 10 people. But
I'm like laughing. Yeah, that
good
kid
shit.
was great.
Good shit. Awesome. Would you rewatch or recommend?
Yes.
Awesome. Out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give Baby Driver?
5 stars.
Come on. Yeah, this is a
Woo!
5-star movie. It's so
It is. It's
entertaining.
so good.
So entertaining, so fun. Yeah, it keeps my interest the whole time. Yeah, really good stuff. And then, yeah, would you reboot this?
No, I think it's just perfect. Like, I wouldn't want to fuck any of it up.
And honestly, like, yeah, to
And
the
I
point.
don't want them to do a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I love everything about it exactly the way it is. And while I wish there was more films like it, I don't want them to touch this one, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, again, like, I this director, so one of his through lines is he does love music, and he does do some of that, like, music editing stuff
Oh,
in
that's
Shaun of
fun.
the Dead a little bit, but not, but I mean, this was a whole movie of it or whatever.
Right.
So again, like, yeah, I feel like he should have the confidence that it's like, no, just get the team back together and do something different, and you will inherently, like, do the Baby Driver thing somehow. Like,
Right. Totally.
yeah, that could be interesting. But yeah, I don't know how I feel. I mean, I'll see it, like, I'll see it, especially if it comes
Same.
out, but it's one of those things, like, I won't be sad if it doesn't happen. Like,
Same. I totally agree with that.
so awesome. Well, that's our two movies. So now I think we gotta figure out what's the connection between these two, or what are the connections between these two.
All right.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight. What's the connection?
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware of it.
Of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
So, Casey, what did you come up with in terms of connections?
Sure. Both movies are centered around music.
Hello. Yep.
Hello, knock on the door.
Soundtrack driven. Yep, I got that one. Yep.
Both main characters like to mix their own music.
Yes.
Both of them found love in someone else that also loves music.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then both characters sort of hold people at arm's length a little bit.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
What do you got?
Say a lot of the same things that you say, I won't even repeat, but both feature actors singing, but not necessarily a musical. Like, I wouldn't call Baby Driver a musical, and
Totally.
I wouldn't really call Pitch Perfect a music. I mean, I guess you
It's
kind of
not
have to.
really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It sort of is.
Because it's weird. Like, this is as close as you can get to a musical in real life. Like, this would be acceptable. Like, oh, we're part of an a cappella group. Oh, that's why you're singing random. Okay, cool. Like, yeah. Singing in real life. But it could be a musical, is the thing. Like, yeah.
Yes, totally.
And just, oh, both Becca and Baby have a talent for music production and arrangement. Kind of goes with the remix, but specifically, it's like, yeah, they both can do that. Like, they'd get along. Like, I think they
Oh,
could.
yeah, they would be friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. sweet. So there's our connections.
Woo-hoo.
So we do this new segment where we tell you, if you liked either of these movies, well, we've got some other movies that you might want to check out, and we call these our movie matches.
But look at this nice thing, though, we have here.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
So, if you enjoyed the movie Pitch Perfect, you might enjoy. Bring It On. I know, yeah. Weird, right? But I think you would.
I agree.
Or perhaps Footloose.
Footloose.
Or, and this one, I haven't seen, well, I haven't seen Footloose either, but I haven't seen, but I kind of really want to see this one. It's called Work It.
Yeah, Work It is a Netflix original movie.
Yes, Netflix, yeah.
It's actually very good, yeah.
It is? Oh, okay, good. Perfect.
Well,
you know, yeah, I know.
On the level of Netflix and dance movies, right?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, the bar is, yeah, set at a
reasonable
level. The
bar is super high.
Yeah.
But it came out, I think, in 2019 or 2020, and I watched it during the pandemic when all I was doing was watching Netflix original films, yes. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and I liked the look of the cast. Like, it looked like it had some good things going for it.
Totally.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed Baby Driver, you might enjoy... I'm going to get the first one out of the way because I don't want to hear any shit. Fast and Furious.
Fucking Jesus.
Now, they're going to be good, okay?
Okay.
Drive.
Yes, yeah.
This is the movie that I think had a very similar tone.
Tone.
Whiplash.
In terms of tone. Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah, because, yeah, very
right?
Music-driven, edgy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
And then
movie.
My last one I'm going to add in there is Kingsman.
Kingsman. Yeah, nice. Oh, fuck, man. Oh, God, I want to watch Kingsman now.
See, and watching this did give me that same, like, excitement
yes.
that I also feel when I watch Kingsman.
Because, yeah, they're the right level. It's the same level of fulfilling and satisfaction in the fight sequences where it's just like, oh, it's just so fucking perfect. And
perfect,
God.
Yes.
And, like,
I totally agree.
I can't.
Yeah.
Colin Firth blows me away in that movie because he
so
did
good.
All of his own stunts. Are you kidding
he's so
me?
So good.
Wow.
Oh, he's so good.
Good movie. Sweet. All right. So we got our matches that away. We did that. Check, check, check. How about a little recommendation?
So I'm going to recommend something that maybe both of us or one of us has recommended before, but new season just dropped, and that is The Boys.
Oh, shit. I am one episode behind, but.
I love how I said, like, I don't like violent things, but I, like, love this fucking show, man.
That's the thing. I know, I always think of that when I'm in the middle of my diatribes, but it's like, you know, peace, love, fucking happiness. Also, The Boys.
Boys.
Invincible. Like, Invincible is another one.
So good.
Invincible, though, is so on the side of good, though. Like, you know.
Uh-huh, yes. Yeah, The Boys has this season might be my favorite season.
Wow.
Like, it's just... I mean, the first season, liked the second season, but this season is like, I feel like we are making some huge headway and things are getting fucked up things are changing. And also, if you watch it, like, so much of our real world is just bleeding into this show.
I'm saying, like, they ain't even hiding who, Homelander is a stand-in for anymore, which
uh-huh.
I love. Like,
yes.
And they have said it since the beginning, but no, they're like, it's like, no, but get it?
Yeah. No, totally. I love it. I'm just totally
this
digging it.
Season is good. You're right. Like, I've thought more and more, like, particularly with the season, I'm like, okay, we've only got to have, like, one more left in us, though, or, like, maybe two would be pushing it because we are heading, like... Yeah.
We are barreling towards, like...
A good conclusion. Like, if there is going to be a conclusion, like, we could reach it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And they did get approved for another one, so I'm just hoping that it's the last one. Like, in a good
way. I think that would be good, too, because, like, honestly, I also just don't know how much more I could handle.
Yeah, right.
And I'm saying that in a loving way.
Yes.
Like, I really love it, but, man, is this shit so intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just finished, I think, the last episode.
Yeah, I think you're all caught up. Yeah, I'm one episode behind. Yeah.
We're about to start Umbrella Academy, which I'm super excited about.
Nice. Fuck yeah. Well, definitely check out The Boys. And when you're looking to take in some chill vibes from the chaos, it's perfect. I'm on the polar opposite side of the spectrum
Love
here.
It.
So I'm recommending it's a little indie game. It's a puzzle game. It's a puzzle game that you can get on all platforms, and I maybe mobile. If not, it should be on mobile because it's so great. And it's called Freshly Frosted. And this is a puzzle game that is donut themed.
Oh my god, I love it.
Each level is just about getting, you got, you know, conveyor belts and ovens, and you're just trying to get donuts from one side of the place to the other, you know, on this conveyor belt, and you're just trying to figure out the paths to take and stuff. Along the way, they need to get a little frosting, maybe some sprinkles, maybe a little whipped cream, and maybe a cherry on top. I've never had a fucking donut with a cherry on top, but okay.
Why not?
Why not? It's really entertaining. It's just the right level of, like, it's challenging. I'm not into puzzle games. Like, you know, like,
right.
This was, I only came across this because it was recommended by somebody on fucking Twitter.
I love it.
Like, somebody I liked on that who used the words chill vibes and lo-fi, and I was like, oh, gimme.
Perfect. Give this to me. Yes.
I love that lo-fi sound, that warm, digital, like, just.
Me too.
New age, like, I'm in a spa, you know,
sound. Yeah, totally.
Love
that. I love it.
Love that stuff. And this game is so great because it's got, you can turn this narration on or off, but there's a narrator who will chime in every now and then to be like, good job. Or, like, and she's just this actress. I have to look her up. She's got a super soothing voice, you know, who's just like, you know, good job. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, some comment about donuts. And if you wait too long, or if you go too long without solving it, she'll chime in and be like, hey, we all struggle sometimes. If you need a hit, just push this button. It's like,
that's so nice.
It's like, thank you so much, but fuck you. Like, I can do this. Like,
I love it.
It's like, normally these voices can be really annoying like that, where it's just like, what, need a hint? It's like, you know, fuck you. This voice is like, oh, thank you. I, you know what? I'm considering asking for help, actually.
I love it so much. That's awesome.
Yeah, so check that out. It's on all platforms. That's Freshly Frosted. All right, those are the recommendations. If you've got a recommendation of your own, you know, just want to shout out, say hey to us, you can send us an email.
MovieConnectionPodcast@gmail.com.
You know, we've got an Instagram that you can follow us at.
The Movie Connection, all one word.
All one word. Or you can follow us individually, me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at KC Schwartz.
I mean, we got it all. Facebook, we got all the social medias except Twitter. You know, forget Twitter.
yeah, seriously.
But also feel free to drop us a nice little 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You know, that'd be most appreciated.
Like us, share us,
all the good stuff. And yeah, now I think we have reached the moment you've all been waiting for if you actually listen to these episodes this long. So, Casey, the movies that we will be assigning each other for next week.
Yeah.
You know, we've been having some fun. Let's have even more fun. Let's go headfirst into some weird, chaotic genre of its own. A little movie called Romeo Must Die, starring the action superstar of the time, Jet Li.
Hell yeah.
Right? We haven't had a Jet Li movie in here. Let's check it out.
And I'm assigning you The Adam Project.
Ah, The Adam Project.
Ryan Reynolds.
This is new. Mark Ruffalo. Right?
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo. All right.
Like, kind of a weird sci-fi time travel comedy action thing.
Wow. Well, finding connections is going to be a bit of a task, but I think we can do it. I'm here for it. So
that's your job.
Join us, folks. Romeo Must Die and Adam Project.
Hell yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.